Blog Talk Radio.
JH Experience with co-host Dolly Miller Brennan.
Produced by CommunicationCreations.com.
And now your host, the notorious MJH.
Yes, it is Tuesday, November 23rd, 2010, 2 days before Thanksgiving, 1 day before the busiest traveling day of the year, and 2 days before Black Friday. But we started Black Friday early. I don't know if you guys follow me on Twitter or not, or any of the other social networks, but yeah, apparently Amazon.com decided to start Black Friday early. And they didn't tell me until about 9 o'clock last night, so you guys got blown up on my Twitter if you're following me. But you know what? You know, the reason I do that is because I don't want you guys to miss those great deals. And we had some good deals last night. And, yeah, I was thinking, you know, like I was hearing on TV and, you know, the news, you know how that stuff is, you know, that everybody started the Black Friday promotions early, you know, like the Walmarts and the Targets and, you know, the malls, basically the shopping malls. And I guess, well, the Black Friday deals on Amazon weren't supposed to start until the 26th, you know, this Friday. But, yeah, they surprised me and started them early. So, yeah, but they're doing things a little bit different this year. So, I don't know. Usually I get an email like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. I schedule the deals that go on throughout the day. But now they're making me wait until they come out to know what they are, so I can't let you guys know until I know. Now people are showing up. Okay, I was just running my mouth in the meantime. Okay, yeah, tonight we have on the show, the show is Cultural Theology with the Reverend James Rife, and that's about the de-theologization, there we go, the de-theologization of society in America. And Reverend Rife has been doing a series, basically, on this. And, yeah, we're going to continue with that tonight. And since that's like what we're doing, like, every Tuesday night, the Reverend Rife comes on, so it's pretty much like his own show, you know. I mean, like, there's me, you know, I'm the host, and there's Dolly Miller Brennan, the co-host, but, you know, it's basically his show, so I made him up some music, and we're going to start with that, and then we'll introduce him to you guys. This is the MJH, what's the show called? You're listening to Cultural Theology with Reverend James Rife on Blog Talk Radio, the MJH Experience. Okay, here we go.
CommunicationCreations.com presents
Cultural Theology with the Reverend James Rife of the St. John's Lutheran Congregation in Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
What's up, everybody? You there?
Here.
Hello.
Are you there? Mike, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I'm here. Yes, wait, indeed. I am here.
There we go. Yes, there's Reverend James Rife. And I hear Dolly in the background going, Mike, can you hear me? Yeah, we can hear you, Dolly, but it sounds like you're coming from the other room. You there?
Okay. Now we're here, I think. Now we're all together. Yes, we've got the Reverend James Rife on tonight with talking to us about cultural theology and how he's already established some parameters for us and discussing in a one-world government how cultural theology is a process in which a one-world government is formed, because if each country has their own government, it's much more difficult to believe. Therefore, people do believe in God, but if you have a one-world government, you can transfer that belief in God to that government. And we're hoping tonight that Reverend Rife might talk to us about some of the new genetics that we are talking about cloning people, and how does that play into this? Reverend Rife?
Well, I have not done a lot of study in this area, but I've been made aware of the genetic research that has been going on for a number of years in countries all over the world, in the genetic research that has been going on between animals and humans. Now, of course, part of the reason for doing this is to try to give longer lifespans to human beings. And so, for example, there are human chromosomes that have been connected to swine chromosomes. And the idea is that this is a good thing, because these animals will be able to harvest all kinds of organs from these animals, which will be used to be transplanted into human beings. And that then what will happen is that the human body will not be so ready to reject these foreign, parts of the body from pigs and other animals, because they will have human chromosomes in them. But the ethical application of this is really amazing. I have been hearing for some time that governments all over the world, including our own country, have been doing genetic research to try to put together some kind of a super soldier, something.
You know, Reverend Wright, the former chairman of the President's Council here on bioethics, Leon Tass, he provided a status report on how real and imminent the dangers of these technologies can be in the hands of transhumanists. And his book, Life, Liberty, and the Defense of Dignity, and he warns about the challenges of bioethics. You think it's possible that we could be creating just a particular species for nothing other than harvesting organs?
I think that's exactly what we're trying to do. We're trying to create species just for the purpose of harvesting organs. This was the whole idea behind those people that did not want to see us have infant stem cell research. They wanted it to be adult stem cells, because in our own country, we have been advocating the killing of fetuses, because we can harvest the fetuses for stem cell research to help various problems that people have in our country. And of course, what we've been saying all along is that this can be done through through adult stem cell research, that you don't need infant stem cell research. But now it's gone beyond that. Now it is that they will be that the attempt will be to raise animals that will have human chromosomes in them, and that these animals will be harvested to give longer life to humans with various problems. But worse than that is that I'm now hearing rumors, and of course we hear rumors. We don't know if it's true, but I am now hearing rumors that the Pentagon and other nations are attempting to make super soldiers that would be much stronger than a normal human being, soldiers that would be invincible. And if this is the case, then we have to say, are we devolving? Are we becoming like the Germans of World War II, who are trying to create a Herrenvolk, you know, a master race? And this is something that I think we need to put time into to really investigate. I heard a source say that there is an attempt now to try to make dogs with human hands. They're trying to do that. If that is true, that is really terrible. And that makes me wonder if the ancient drawings and the ancient paintings and the ancient sculptures of these creatures that were half human and half animal were maybe real. Socrates talked about Atlantis and that Atlantis was destroyed. And we have all these ancient legends. We have the Gilgamesh epic, and we have the Book of Genesis that talks about the flood. And in the Bible, it talks about the fact that angels, evil angels, came to Earth and mated with women, human women, and produced a race of giants. And that this race was terribly powerful, but at the same time evil. And that the earth itself, according to Genesis, became so evil that God blotted out all flesh, with the exception of Noah and his family, and animals that Noah picked. And perhaps what Noah picked, he was supposed to pick a pair of all these different kinds of animals, but maybe what Noah was doing was picking animals that had not been genetically altered. And is it possible that this is what was going on thousands of years ago and that God destroyed the earth? And, you know, the whole book of Jude talks about this.
Leon Cass gave a warning on the potential hazards. You know, he says of emerging technologies that are coupled with transhuman aspirations, that that's not an overreaction, because there is one law school, as we speak, in the United Kingdom, teaching students crime street investigations already and discussing the need to add requirements for such specifically trained law enforcement personnel arising to part human, part beings possessing behavior patterns not consistent with present-day profiling or forensics understanding, and they call it crimes committed by post-humans. So
yeah.
This is not an overreaction. It's just kept so quiet that no one knows about it.
That is right. And my understanding is that there's also a law school in Cleveland, I believe, maybe I'm wrong, that is also working on this. So it's not just in England, but also I've been hearing also in Cleveland. Now, if those things are true,
Leon Cass said we're looking to other unknowns, such as memory transference, which he says is an entirely new field of study this government's been working on, suggesting that complex behavior patterns and even memories can be transferred from donors of large human organs to their recipients. And he says the potential for tomorrow's human-animal issues multiply.
Yes, well, I've been hearing about this for some time, that people who, for example, have a heart transplant will all of a sudden begin having memories from the person whose heart that they received. And these are areas that you know, are still very murky. But if, in fact, I get a heart transplant from some young man that was killed in a car accident and then start having his memories, that is an unintended consequence. And so then we have to think about, do we really want to keep doing that? But that's one thing. But to be trying to mate humans or human chromosomes and animal chromosomes together, and I've even heard talk of trying eventually to mate animals and human beings, that is going way beyond the pale. And is that something that we really want to see happen?
Well, you know, this reminds me of something my ex-boss told me. He said, just imagine that the CIA is involved, and he says it is such a ludicrous thought that it is impossible for them to be involved. He said, multiply that by 10,000, and you will only have begun to scratch the surface of the involvement, just accept it's there. Well, now, Mr. Cass here says that right now, in the House Foreign Affairs Committee, chaired by California Democrat Brad Sherman, best known for his expertise on the spread of nuclear weapons and terrorism, is among a number of government panels currently studying the implications of genetic modifications and human transforming technologies related to future terrorism. Infectious Congressional Quarterly columnist Mark Stencil listened to the Health Committee hearings and wrote in 2009 that the conference sounded more like a Hollywood pitch for a sci-fi thriller than a sober discussion of scientific reality. And just like you said, Reverend Reif, you hit it on the head. He said there was talk of biotech's potential for creating super soldiers, super intelligence, and super animals that could become agents of unprecedented lethal forces. Now, this, again, this came from the Congressional Quarterly, okay, and California Democrat Brad Sherman is among those on the government panel that is trying to research this and put it into effect. So anybody, if you're out there, if you live in California, whatever you do, you don't want to vote for Democrat Brad Sherman. You want to recall him, get him out of office.
Well, again, what this is showing us is that these people have been de-theologized. That's the point.
Absolutely.
You see, when you no longer believe in God and you think that you are God or that human rationality can take control of everything, then you've lost the battle. And this is exactly what, again, I see happening in our country. And it's what happened in Germany 60, 70 years ago when the people lost their faith in God and put it in the Nazi Party. And the people who were backing the Nazi Party were strict, hardcore atheists, you know, who were using their rationale to explain everything. And that is an extremely dangerous precedent for us to be setting. And if that's happening, if those things are really going on, the American people have to wake up and stop that before it gets too far along. If that genie gets out of the bag, we will have Terminators going around. And how will we stop them? I've even heard talk of trying to put an on and off switch on these kinds of people in case they do go crazy.
Here's what Leon Cass has written about, and he says, how would the memories, behavior, patterns, and instincts, for example, of the wolf affect the mind of a human? This really spooked me. He said, such unprecedented questions have to be dealt with sooner than later have already been illustrated in animal-to-animal experiences, including those conducted by, and this is documented, I'm not giving anybody any, you know, I'm not giving you any fluff, conducted by Evan Balaban, is that right? Balaban? Evan Balaban at McGill University in Montreal. So we can document this, we can go, we can find Evan Balaban, we can see that he's doing this. University of Montreal, where sections of brains they took from embryonic quails were transplanted into the brains of chickens, and the resultant chickens exhibited head bobs and vocal trills unique to quail. Now, before I go on, there's one other thing, and I want to get your opinion on this. You hear all these old stories, Halloween stories, yada, yada, Bela Lugosi, Lon Chaney playing all these roles. Okay, the implication, he says, in this field of study alone proves that complex behavior patterns can be transferred from one species to another, strongly suggesting that transhumans, holy balls and overalls, the transhumans will likely bear unintended behavior and appetite disorders that could produce literally a lycanthropy, werewolves, that could literally produce them.
Yes.
That blows my mind. And we can document this. This is not just something, you know, that I'm trying to freak anybody's chili, you know. I mean, this is real stuff, and you can go to these different universities, and you can see that. You can go to Congressional Quarterly. You can discuss it with Brad Sherman, the Democrat in power. I mean, get those Democrats out of office. So what you're saying, Reverend Wright, is that the dangers to de-theologization are much more serious than just going to church on Sunday or going to temple on Friday night.
That is precisely right. When unaided human reason or unbounded human reason, it does not have anything above it. When, for example, reason is not kept in the tutelage of Scripture so that human reason can go in any direction, you will have terrible, evil chaos. This has happened time and again throughout history, and I have a feeling that this is what is coming in our country. Last week when I was on this show, I was talking with a gentleman, I can't remember his name, who talked
Larry
about
Ballard.
Having... Say again?
Larry Ballard.
Larry Ballard, yes. Who talked about having seen with his own eyes these concentration camps that are being built with vast canisters of gas and with huge coffins, although I don't know why you'd need a coffin if you're going to be killing people wholesale. But if this is what is happening in our country,
if people
don't believe in God anymore, and think that they are the measure of all things. You see, this is the evil of humanism, that man is the measure of all things. And if we thou become the measure of all things, what will stop us? Then we are literally building the ancient Tower of Babel. And it may very well be that human history repeats itself. You know, the ancient Greeks believed that we went in cycles and that there's nothing new under the sun, as the writer of Ecclesiastes would say, that everything keeps going again and again. Christian history says no, history is linear. But perhaps there is truth on both sides here. And if history is cyclical, then are we entering into another age that was vaguely talked about in the early books, in the early chapters of Genesis? And are we going back to that now, building a new Tower of Babel? Are we going back now and constructing a new form of human species, which is what the evil angels attempted to do long ago? And if so, that's extremely dangerous. And it could only happen when a society or a culture becomes de-theologized. And I submit
that
Western...
So what we're saying here now is that it's even more dangerous today because we have the nuclear capabilities,
oh, yeah,
of which Noah didn't have, so that now we have greater dangers. So there's even a greater focus on trying to theologize society again. I think we have to start from the bottom up and theologize, because I think we have been lost.
By the way, the Bible refers to Noah as a man of God who spoke the word of God to the people of his day. If these people were super people who had been given, chromosomes far beyond what normal mortals had, can you imagine how brave Noah was to have done something like that, to speak against that, and then, of course, to build his ark. And the whole idea of producing this kind of a race of people, if this is true, if it's really being talked about, if they're really thinking about doing stuff like this, tells us that we're not evolving, we are devolving back to something very horrid that took place a long time ago, and that, in fact, history is repeating itself.
So this is what you think could happen, or would be happening, through the de-theologization of society, because what we're talking about now, the cloning, this is not, again, we're not just freaking someone's chili, this really is happening, and it's happening inside of our party.
Yes, it appears. It appears that it is, from the rumors I'm hearing and from the information that you have gleaned. It does appear that this is happening, and this, again, is a sign of people who have lost their faith in God. And it makes me wonder if it's too late, if we're heading down that road.
Perhaps. I never like to look at anything as being too late, because we do have free will, but what we really need to do, as Larry Ballard says, you have to be informed, you have to be aware, you have to educate yourself in the short term. And because we are ruled by a government, we have to put people in power that will say, we will not allow this to happen. We will not allow this. We will turn this, I hate to say turn the clock back, but we almost need to do it to protect ourselves.
Well, you see, as stupid as people claim George Bush was, George Bush Jr., he refused to do some of that kind of infant chromosome study. He refused to do that because he understood the dangers involved here, and he did not want to play God.
And obviously he was privy to the information that we've been discussing, and his choice was that this was not a positive turn. And we now have an individual in office who can't even produce a birth certificate, who calls us all bitter people addicted to guns and drugs, who bows to Arab princes. Now we have someone in power that yearns for something like this.
Yes, and I believe, by the way, that he has never produced his birth certificate.
No, he has not.
That is most strange.
And also, at the point in time and space when he was born in Hawaii, it was well known that Hawaii would register births of children that were not actually born in Hawaii. Their parents or grandparents lived there, they'd register them as born in Hawaii. So if I was a grandparent and my daughter ran off to Kenya and had a baby with somebody, you damn well better believe I'd register that kid in Hawaii and make him a U.S. citizen. So, and they said, well, there was no birth announcement in the paper. And, again, I like Fox News, but Bill O'Reilly debunked that one night. He said, I talked to somebody that knew somebody at the hospital that had seen a copy of his birth certificate. I thought, what the hell are we talking about here? I know somebody that knows somebody that saw a copy of it. Yeah, well, the next time I want to charge $3,000 or $4,000 worth of shoes, I'll say, hey, I know somebody that knows somebody that's seen a credit card with my name on it, too. You know, it's the same
thing. There you go. Exactly. And I think we need to alert the people that are listening to this program that they need to start agitating in their states that they pass a law that no one can run for president and be voted on in their state who has not shown his original birth certificate.
Just get people together. Have them over for dinner. You know, find out who, on whatever topic you want to discuss, you know, have them speak on that topic. Have people over for dinner. That's what my parents did, and I've done, and discuss something, and get this momentum going, you know.
Well,
this is what we have to do.
I'm hearing rumors that the state of Texas is going to pass a law saying you can't run for president in their state unless
Absolutely.
You have produced.
In fact, let me pull it up. The Raging Republicans, which it's an internet group to which I belong.
The Raging Republicans or Raging Elephants?
The Raging Elephants. I'm sorry. The Raging Elephants.
Who are they? I've heard about them. I don't know much about them.
Let me see. Let me bring it up. I'm a member of one, so we'll bring it up. And while we have a moment while I'm bringing that up, what do you think about the negotiator of the Taliban with an imposter?
Oh, boy, doesn't that speak to us? Doesn't that speak volumes about the intelligence of the present administration when they have been debating or when they have been talking all this time with someone who they claimed was an emissary of the Taliban, and now they find out he wasn't connected with them at all? My goodness. Yes, it may. Well, again, it's the same kind of an argument. He didn't produce his bona fides. Our president didn't produce his bona fides to show that he's truly a native-born American. And the Democratic Party has known about this and has done nothing. They are to be held at fault.
Well,
and you know,
especially when we look at Brad Sherman in California, and I want to go back to him because we pulled up the information on him. A member of this committee is actually researching and promoting the development of nanotechnology, of transferring information, of combining humans and animals. We need to get people like that out of office.
Can you imagine 1,000 years from now, 300 years from now, 100 years from now, producing animals, let's say a wolf, that has a human head, but and human hands, but has the body and the instincts of a wolf? Whoa. I wouldn't want to deal with an animal like that.
Well, it's
my
just
goodness.
One scary. That's all there is to it. It's just one scary.
And again, it makes me wonder if the satyrs and all the other ancient animals, half human, half animal, that were depicted in the ancient world, if there perhaps was more truth to it than we ever knew.
More truth.
It may, you see, Socrates, or not Socrates, I keep wanting to say Socrates. No, it was Socrates who said that the lost continent of Atlantis was destroyed by this great flood that came, and that this continent destroyed itself by some kind of a blow-up, some kind of an explosion, which brought the waters over it. Now, you know, how confused is all of this? Were they really saying that this was the great flood that destroyed the lost continent of Atlantis, or the lost continent of Lemuria in the Pacific Ocean? Or was it that these places, these nations, whatever they were, destroyed themselves, perhaps with some kind of an A-bomb, some kind of a nuclear bomb? We don't know. But when I hear about this kind of research going on, and I read about the ancient fables, which we've always called fables, from the ancient world, and see these drawings and these sculptures, it makes me wonder if there was much more going on than we've ever even begun to imagine in the ancient world, and that God, in fact, did destroy the ancient world because of the antediluvian world, because it had gone so completely berserk.
So what we're doing then, we're looking at how we can do this, what can the average person do, how we can look at our churches and our synagogues to see if we are developing a cultural theology, if we are taking only the scriptures that apply to the mores we want to institute in our lives and say, this is God's word. Is that a possibility?
Absolutely.
Can we look for that?
The only way out of this, if this is what's coming, the only way out of any of our troubles is to believe wholeheartedly in the revolution, in the revelation that we have from God, which is found in the scriptures alone. You're not going to find any revelation about him anywhere else. And then to trust these scriptures and to believe wholeheartedly in what they say. And then, of course, to practice them. If we don't, we will, I think, find ourselves under destruction. Our country was founded on those principles and was founded on the idea that men are basically evil, are basically nasty. This comes right out of the scriptures, so that there has to be a check on human reason and human ambition. And so our government was set up in such a way that we had checks and balances in the government, so that people would know that they were called to something higher, and that our nation was called to be a light to the world. When you read some of the ancient founders of our country, or early founders of our country, you will find that they strongly advocated a Christian worldview, because they believed that we had light to shed to the entire world, and that only if we were faithful to that would God bless us. But we haven't been faithful to these values in the last number of years, since really, since shortly after World War II, we've begun to really, really slip.
So if we're in, say, if we're in synagogue, if we're in church, how are we going to look for this to determine if our synagogue, if our church is moving in this direction?
Are these churches Bible-based? Are these synagogues Bible-based, scripture-based? Or are they slipping off into new directions? And if they claim to be Bible-based, are they hung up on social justice issues alone? Or are they talking about the transcendent issues? For Christianity, it would be Christ. For Jews, it would be following the ancient traditions passed down by Moses, given to the people of Israel, because they are God's chosen people and they are to follow his way of life. But if we degenerate it into just wanting to care for the poor black folks, or for women's rights, or things like this, then those are signs that the theology itself is beginning to devolve. It's beginning to fall apart. And lots of liberal Christians believe, or I should say don't believe, in the authority of Scripture. They believe in the authority of whatever Scripture, whatever is contained in Scripture that they like, but they don't believe in the authority of Scripture as a whole. And this is very dangerous. And so, since they no longer believe those things, they have to have something to believe in. There has to be some reason for having the church on the corner when the pastor is no longer preaching salvation by grace through Christ. They have to have something to believe in. And so then they cheapen themselves and go into social justice. Well, if you're really Christians, you'll go out and help and start soup kitchens and things like this. You know, and there is something to be said for it. It is a half truth. The reason we have Social Security and the reason we have Medicare and all these things is because Christians in this country haven't been doing their job the way they should have. They should have been taking care of the poor, and they weren't doing that. But that should be an outgrowth of their deeper faith. And what's happening
okay,
now?
Here we have raging elephants.
Texas
leading the stampede again. Texas. Birther bill, it's called the Birther bill, could signal trouble for President Obama Mr. Obama in 2012. Okay, and what they're wanting to do, they're calling it the Birther bill, in order to be on your state ballot. you must be able to produce the original birth certificate.
Wow.
And it says here that Barack Obama could face major challenges. A Texas state legislature recently introduced a bill that would require all presidents and vice presidential candidates to submit their official birth certificate to the Texas Secretary of State in order as a requirement for state ballot eligibility. And that state representative in Texas, Leo Berman, Republican, from Tyler, introduced House Bill 295, which stipulates that the Secretary of State may not certify the name of a candidate for president or vice president unless the candidate has presented the original birth certificate indicating the person is a natural-born United States citizen.
Well, now, you know, that's really not unreasonable, is it? I mean, if you're going to be running for the president of the United States, you ought to be able to prove that you were born in this country. If I want to go to Canada, for crying out loud, to Canada, I have to have a passport. And in order to get my passport, I have to produce my original birth certificate.
That's exactly right.
Because the Canadians want to know that I really am who I say I am. And then if I am who I say I am and the government grants me a passport, then they know that I am an American citizen who is responsible and can come into Canada without causing all kinds of mayhem. But if the government won't grant me a passport, that is telling the Canadians that there's something wrong with this guy. We're not sure who he is. And so then they will rightfully say, no, we're not letting you into our country. And good Lord, if someone is running for president or vice president of our country, he ought to be able to show that he really was a native-born citizen, since our Constitution calls for that.
Well,
and again,
in your model of cultural theology, which, speaking of this, it brought this to mind, in your model of cultural theology, is there an entertainment concept inside of there? With some of the mega churches, the large churches, they're taking the little ones and combining them into the big ones. They're having plays. They're having all kinds of entertainment programs, all kinds of plays and musical events. Or the minister is so caught up in producing these situations that he really doesn't have time to do, as you do, to go out into the community and you would go out in the community and do communions, you know, with us it's a different thing. But to be able to go out and to do that, is that a sign also of the theologizing? Is that part of the model of that, like entertainment theology, or we're entertaining everyone? You're not really reading the Bible. You're not really reading Torah because you've got a play in front of you. Could that be part of the process?
Of course it is. Of course it is. Entertainment theology is exactly what it says it is. It's entertainment. So I take you to a movie. And I take you to a movie that is much fun, and you and I enjoy it, and we laugh about it and talk about it, but it has no lasting impact. And when the movie is over, we joke about it a little bit and say, wasn't it funny when so-and-so did such a thing? But a week after the movie is over, we may have even forgot that we saw it because it had no deep, lasting experience or influence on us. But if I take you to a movie that is extremely serious and is talking about deadly serious issues of human life or of the life of our nation, if the movie is well done, we may not be laughing when we get out of the movie, and we may not have enjoyed it while it was going on because it really made us look at what's happening in our country or what kind of people we are as individuals. But when it's over, we really find that it stays with us. When I saw the original Godfather, the movie haunted me for weeks after it, and I still remember it. Because it was a movie that made my skin crawl, because I felt like I had participated in evil. And when I saw them murdering people, and I actually saw that, it was so brutal that I felt like I had participated in evil. And I wanted to spit when I walked out of the theater because it made me so uncomfortable. That is a movie that was truly profound. When I saw 2001, A Space Odyssey, again, I left with a feeling of wonder, and I've never forgotten the movie because it showed me the wonderful things that we could do as we would go into outer space. Well, if a person believes what the scriptures say and believe it is the word of God, and if the pastor is preaching it as the word of God, that message is going to have a deep effect on the person in church. But if it's all sweetness and light, and we just read it haphazardly and we're not taking it seriously, then those people will not be moved. And the same is true with the liturgy, with the ritual. The rituals of the Christian church and of the Jewish tradition go back about 4,000 years. God told the people of Israel how they were to worship, and they did that. The Christians, who were Jews and who borrowed from Judaism, established a ritual that over the years, modified itself. But it maintained the basic structure of the Jewish form of worship. And when people are worshiping in that way, that even though they may not understand it, they are touching the deepest parts of their soul. Carl Jung, the great German psychologist, used to call them archetypes. And when you're talking about Christ, or you're talking about Moses, or you're talking about Abraham, and reading these passages, and reading the Psalms, and praying the Psalms that go back into the ancient times, that affects your soul, the archetype in your soul. And that will make internal changes in you. But when you're playing, you know, goo music, or, you know, rock and roll music, it's not going to affect you in the same way. And so, yes, when the church cheapens itself by having all that kind of music and plays, it's not that it's not okay to do some of those things sometime, but it should never replace divine worship. The Germans use the phrase Gottesdienst, which means God's service, that when you go to worship, it's not merely a service, it's Gottesdienst, it's God's service. You are giving service to God when you worship. And the Roman Catholic tradition and the great Lutheran and Anglican traditions and the Orthodox traditions have retained that. But then you have rebels in all those traditions that are going away from it. And certainly we have many liberal Protestants that have done the same thing. So that worship is not really worship. It's something to make you feel good. Now, wasn't that fun to go there and hear Sandy Patty sing that really neat song? You know? But that's not what worship is. And when we read the Bible as if it's a book, just a book, and not God's Word, the same thing happens.
It's a catchphrase here. It's when you read the Bible as a book to entertain you. You know, I have my little entertainment booking agency where I book entertainers. That's the name of it. Let me entertain you. So
yes.
That's what we have. When we say, this is a book, let me entertain you.
Yes.
So
now,
therefore, if we do that, then does that produce in us a subconscious etiologizing of our own? It's a book to be entertained, so we really don't accord it the respect it deserves?
Of course. And we are being de-theologized. That's the point. When we treat the Bible as something other than it is, it's just a book and you can take it or leave it, we begin to de-theologize ourselves, because then we have no authority to speak about God. When a Roman Catholic goes to communion but doesn't really believe it anymore, but he goes because his mother wants him to go, but he doesn't really believe it, and he goes up there and he takes the wafer in his mouth, but he doesn't really believe it, he's bringing damnation on himself, because he is swallowing the body of Christ, which is what the Roman Catholic Church and the Lutheran Church teach. But he doesn't believe it anymore. So he's bringing damnation onto himself, and from a rational point of view, he begins to believe it less and less and less. Oh, I'm bringing damnation on myself, but God didn't strike me dead. It's all a bunch of hooey. But what people need to realize is that God is very old. He's been around a long time. And he's infinitely patient with us, or maybe I shouldn't say infinitely, but very patient with us. And he wills that all men should be saved, it says in the book of Hebrews. He wills that all men should be saved. And so God takes that Catholic who doesn't really believe anymore and goes up and goes through the forms, and he keeps watching out for him and trying to bring him back to God so that he doesn't destroy his soul. And so, and that's done through the sacraments and through the Word. But the further away I drift from that, the less I believe these things, the harder it is to draw me back. And God, who is the great hound of heaven, will stop at nothing to save our souls and bring us back to him.
That when we don't do these things, then we have this nanotechnology, we have this mixing humans and animals, we have this cloning, then we get into a one-world government where then the government becomes the religion, as Shirley MacLaine used to say, God is within you, there are little gods inside all of us. And I remember when I was in college and studying religious philosophy along with other things, and that was one of the concepts, you know, they were saying, you know, there is a concept that God is within you. And they were trying to say, of course, I'm Jewish, so how do I know what Jesus Christ is saying? They were saying, this is what Jesus Christ was saying. I am as you are as me. They were saying, okay, he says there's a God within you. So, and you're saying that's not correct, because if there's a God within each of us, then each God is going to be different. We're going to follow the dictates of our own path.
And then
and Joseph Campbell would say, there is the outer reaches of inner space. We're saying that there is something outside of us that exists within us and exists outside of us at the same time, of which we need to take stock. And if we don't, then we begin to lose ourselves along the way. Is that correct?
That is exactly right. Shirley MacLaine, as much as I appreciate her ideas about reincarnation is used by people who do not want to accept salvation. And so they think they're going to reincarnate. But that kind of theology, be it reincarnation or the inner God that is within us, is mere subjectivism, and it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Either there is a God who has objectively acted in history, or there isn't. The Bible is a book that speaks to us about how God has acted in history for thousands of years. Because God is so powerful, so great, he can't be proven, because he's beyond proof. Just like you, Dolly, as smart as you are, cannot imagine infinity. And no matter how young you think you are, you're getting older, and you're thinking about it, and you're thinking about the fact that you are young isn't going to change the fact that you're getting older. And you cannot imagine infinity. You can try to talk about it, but you can't imagine it. And because God is infinite, we can't prove him. And so people who are very narrow-minded want to say, well, then that means there is no God, because if there was a God, you could prove it. Well, not so. It's just that our minds can't wrap themselves around God. By the way, if your mind could wrap itself around God, then you wouldn't be wrapping around God, because your mind is too small to do that. Then you'd be wrapping yourself around something other than God, but it wouldn't be God.
We're saying that there's a danger here. You've opened up another subject. You've opened up a whole other subject to get into. You're saying, they'll say, well, I can wrap my mind around this. Then you're looking at something that is pretending to be something that it is not. Is that correct?
Correct. And the various, the demigods that the Jews rejected and brought us the understanding of one God were powerful beings. But they weren't the God of the universe that started everything and keeps it going. They were lesser gods, and many of these lesser gods were figments of the imagination of the people. They dreamed them up. The ancient American Indians had a good idea about God. They talked about the Great Spirit. They had gone as far as the human mind could go, and they knew that there was a spirit out there. They didn't know who it was, and so they just referred to him as the Great Spirit. And as you know, they tried many different ways to make contact with this Great Spirit, you know, and they would torture themselves and do things like that, thinking that that would bring them close to the Great Spirit. But no matter what you do, you can't bring yourself to the Great Spirit. The Great Spirit has to bring himself to you. and God appeared to Abraham. And the whole history of the Bible, right down through Jesus, is God coming to man, and not the other way around. God comes to man, and then we accept that and trust that revelation, because there's no other way we can know about him. And by the way, I'm perfectly willing to say that the Islamics have, in a minor way, an understanding of God. But their understanding of God has not produced good world citizens. And as Jesus used to say, by their fruits you will know them. So you know Christian people by the fact that they are virtuous, or Jewish people by the fact that they are virtuous and they strive to do the right thing. And Jewish and Christian cultures have always brought out the best in people. And the reason our country is slipping today is because we're losing that base. I mean, I've never heard of such terrible murders and other things that are going on in our country as I've heard today. And it's because, again, we're losing our faith in this God. But the Islamic religion has not produced much that's very good. And we can talk all we want about the great Muslim scholars, Avicenna and Averroes and all these people. Yeah, that happened a long time ago. But they've done nothing of recent times. So that Obama now tells us we have to take NASA and use all that expertise, all that knowledge, to make Muslims feel good about themselves. Now, you see, something isn't right here. So they've done nothing. And by their fruits, as Jesus used to say, you will know them. So they have not been good world citizens. Why? Because they're believing a phony God. They're believing in a phony prophet. That's why.
So we're saying that we do have to get back to the concept of not having many different gods or many different governments or humanistic thoughts, but we're saying that we need to get back to the concept of having one God and having that one true experience outside of ourselves. And if there is a truth in that, then that is the one truth. And that in order to maintain our ability to continue as a race, then it's important to stop this de-theologizing by what it's really doing is lowering, the concept of a higher authority down to the same as ourselves.
Yes, and it means getting back to and trusting the Word of God, which is found in the Scriptures. And if we don't do that, our country will keep slipping. And if we don't do that, then if there are unbridled scientists out there who are actually trying to clone human beings and animals together, if they don't understand the evil they are committing and stop doing that because suddenly they've come to a faith in God, if they don't understand that, can you imagine the horrific kind of future we have coming? I don't want to be alive to see it. And what will become of us if this is what is happening? And so I threw that out to you tonight because I have been hearing these kinds of rumors. The things that we heard last week from the gentleman that was speaking and what I'm talking to you about tonight are things that should make all of us shiver and should make us want to take back our government. Because if the government really is starting concentration camps, why are they doing that? And if there are scientists that are really trying to clone human beings and animals together, what is happening to us?
And what we need to do is contact these individuals, contact Leon Kass, contact Brad Sherman, Democrat Brad Sherman. Go in, and you can get a copy of the congressional record in this area and look at this and educate yourself and inform yourself so that you know what's happening and then take action against it.
Exactly. Exactly. That is what we'll have to do. And at the same time, we will have to trust in God and in the revelation he's given us and believe in and trust in pastors that are preaching the word and disavow and stay away from those pastors who are preaching rationalism and Christianity together or Judaism and rationalism together because they are false prophets and they're not helping us. So we have to stay away from them. And this is what I have found over years of studying the Scriptures and seeing what's going on in the world as I've gotten older.
No, not you.
Oh, no, I'll never get old. No. 1,000 years from now,
Mike,
I'll still be here.
Mike, what are your thoughts?
Michael?
Hey, I'm here.
Are you there? Are you listening?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I've been listening. Yeah, I was going to say my comments towards the end anyway. If I got to like take my driver's or if I got to take my birth certificate down to DMV to get my driver's license, I think the president of the United States can take his birth certificate to where I don't know where you're going to sign up for president, but I think you should have a birth certificate with you,
produced a video that's really cute, and then he had a friend of his or someone he knew on the other night that did this, and Mike presented the video where he'd gone in to buy cigarettes and beer, what else would Mike buy, and they wanted to scan the front of the card and the back of the card just for the purchases, and his friend refused to allow them to do it. Mike says, why do they need that?
Actually, I didn't know that guy. He found my video on YouTube and contacted me.
Wow.
And left a comment on the, he just happened to be, he happened to be from this area.
Was he saying
what was
he saying? They wanted to flash his card for cigarettes or alcohol, and he said no.
Mike made a video about it.
Well,
tell him about the video.
I actually have the video. It was the beginning of 2009, and I went into a convenience store on Virginia Beach Boulevard around here. And when I went in the store, they asked me to see my ID card. And, you know, I don't think nothing of it, so I handed it to them, and they scanned it. And I was like, why are you scanning my ID? And they said that it was to do the math. And I was like, well, what do you need to do the math for? You know, it has my birth date right there, you know. And here's the video that I made. And the guy she's telling you about, his name is Dan. I live in Virginia Beach. He lives in Norfolk. We're neighboring cities. And
yes,
the same thing happened to him, and he went online, and that's where he found this video at.
Okay, check it out. This is not going to be a real professional video, but just so you get the idea. Okay, this is my driver's license. This is the back of my driver's license. This is the barcode that they like to scan, but that's not what they actually scan. They scan. Scan this funny looking piece right here. But what I did was I took a piece of electrical tape and a razor blade and made a little black strip of my own, and I put it over that funky looking doohickey like that, so that when people ask to see my ID, when they think they're going to scan it real quick without me catching them, I just look at them like they're stupid, like, don't scan my ID. I mean, you know, why would you scan my ID? And they're like, well, to prove your date of birth. Well, it's right there. I mean, why do you need to hold it up to the scanner? Oh, well, it just does the math. Well, I asked them. I was like, well, you know, that is obviously tied into a national database. Otherwise, it wouldn't be able to verify my age when you hold it up to it. Now, don't you realize that databases exchange information? So if you're getting information from them, my date of birth, that means they're getting information from you, what I'm buying. Beer, cigarettes, you know, it's none of the government's business what I buy as long as I'm old enough, and I'm old enough, it says so, right there.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the audio quality on that video. Just playing it over the BTR here, but basically what I did was, after that happened to me one time, I took a piece of electrical tape and a razor blade, and I made a little black strip of my own, and I put it on the back of the ID card, or my driver's license, so when they went to scan it, it wouldn't scan. And now when they ask me, you know, at that store, if I can, it's actually a chain, so any of the stores, if they can see my ID, I say, well, just a second, I got to go out to the car and get it. And when I go out to the car to get my ID, I come back in with my ID and my video camera rolling, just to capture on their, you know, the expression on their faces when they go to scan it. And I want to ask them, you know, why are you scanning it, and see what they say on the camera. But it's weird because they won't scan it when I have the camera in their face.
Wow. What does that say? Wow.
What it says is that Big Brother wants to keep tabs on everything you buy, where you shop, where you go. And I haven't gotten into this on YouTube or anything, or even on the BTR yet. But the speed passes, you know, for the tolls and stuff like that. And they can actually keep track of every place you go with those things. And, you know, what you were saying also, Reverend Rife, about history repeating itself, I believe you're on the right track. Nobody actually knows for sure. There's no way to know. But, yeah, you know, the seven wonders of the world and the story of Noah's Ark, you know, like why God destroyed the world at one time and we're heading in the same direction this time, the gays, that issue comes up where men started marrying men and women started marrying women. History is repeating itself, and I think we're pissing God off. And with the definitely stepping on his toes with that there's a place around here called the Jones Institute, and since the early 90s, they've known how to not only tell the sex of a baby, but they've also known how to decide the sex of a baby, where, you know, a woman can be pregnant. Now, they could have done this a long time ago. Do you want a boy or a girl? And early enough in the pregnancy, they could make it a boy or a girl. They wouldn't do it. They still won't do it. That's stepping on God's toes. And when you start talking about cloning and these stem cell research and all that stuff, that is stepping on God's toes. And I put out a poll about a year ago that if you did clone another human being, would the clone have the same spirit and the same memories as the original? And, yeah, what you said about heart transplant or and stuff like that, I definitely believe there is something to that. You know, even if you put somebody's shoes on, wear somebody else's shoes, you're going to feel some kind of spiritual connection with that person.
That's right.
That's just what I believe.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I was speculating in church on Sunday to the people who divided up Jesus' clothes at the cross, the soldiers. I said, do you suppose those men that put on his turban and put on his undergarments and his sandals, do you suppose that affected them in any way? I said, because the spirit of Jesus must have been in all those clothes. I said, my son now has gone back to Afghanistan, and his sweatshirt, my little dog lays in his sweatshirt because it smells like him. You know, and is that not true of human beings too, that we become attached or affected by the soul of a being? And so I just threw that out to the people, you know, as my own pious wonderings. But in truth, what we're talking about here with cloning is extremely, extremely, profoundly dangerous. And if this is going on, like you say, the Jones Institute won't do it. Thank God for them that they have a conscience. No, this is something that we're really going to have to be watching now in the future.
Well, Jones Institute is part of Eastern Virginia Medical School, which is part of Norfolk General Hospital, and it's one of the best hospitals in the nation and one of the best medical schools. But it wasn't really cloning with them. It was just the issue of, you know, like deciding sex of babies. You know, they're just
But you see, they're playing God when they do that. And they are playing God. And who are we to be doing that? When we lose our place in the universe, then we become monsters. That's exactly what the Nazis were trying to do.
Well, now they don't call it Nazis. Now they call it Scientology.
Scientology,
right.
Is that what we call it today?
Well, Scientology, you know, I've been on different websites, you know, like worldwide websites and stuff like that. And you have people pop up from all different cultures and beliefs and stuff like that. And, you know, there were some people talking about Scientology, and one guy posted a video, and I watched it just out of curiosity. And, I mean, it's not funny. It's actually sad. But it's so funny that, you know, these Scientologists are – they've tapped into spiritual principles, you know, whether you call it karma, the golden rule, whatever it is. It's a spiritual principle. No matter what you believe, no matter what you don't believe, it's going to test true every time. And they are just going out of their way to have a scientific explanation for why spiritual principles exist and why they work. And they'll do anything except admit that there's a God. And, you know, some of them will kind of take the agnostic role and say, oh, well, yeah, there's probably a spiritual being, but, you know, it's all still based on science. And I could accept that logic. I mean, if you're going to put out that kind of crap and you stand by it, I have some kind of respect for you. But when you don't stand by your crap, that's when I lose all respect for you, you know?
Well, you know, I had a...
Well, hang on to that thought. One more, just 1 second while I make one more point about these Scientologists.
Yes.
They have, you know how you have the Trinity, the Holy Trinity, you have the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost,
yes.
And in your person you have your mind, body, and spirit. Well, they call that thetan, and thetan is it's the same thing, except it's not spiritual, it's all science, and they call that thetan. Just like we would refer to the Trinity, they refer to thetan. It's a religion, but it's based on science, and it's just, it's retarded, if you ask me.
You're right,
but,
Mike,
look,
because absolutely, I had a friend of mine whose husband was big into Scientology, and she called, and she said, Dolly, I don't know what I should do. He wants me to convert to this, and I have to run down to Chicago. I said, whatever you do. I said, whatever you
do.
Do
they actually have places
not,
of worship and altars? I don't get that.
Yeah.
But look, check this out. If you take the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, that's a triangle. That's one Trinity. And if you take the mind, body, and spirit, that's another triangle. If you take one triangle and turn it upside down, place it on top of the other one, and draw a circle around it, isn't that the Star of David?
Indeed.
Yes.
Indeed it is.
Well, I tell you, when she refused to, she called me for advice. I said, do not do it. I said, you have to give your whole life, you hold everything against it. Do not do this. You have your religion. He has his. And believe me, he was a well-respected individual in this community. And she refused to do it, and he locked her out of the house. And that was the end of the marriage. Anyway, Mike, I think you're correct on that. And I have to run because, as you know, afterwards I do my computer work at night. So I'm going to leave you all.
Okay, Dolly.
And you have a good time. And alas, as I always leave with the same parting thought, don't stick any drugs up your butt. I'll see you tomorrow.
Michael, God love you.
You as well, Dolly.
Yeah.
Don't
God love you, Michael.
Hey, God love you as well. God bless you guys.
Yeah,
thank you very much. Great job,
thank
y'all.
You.
Okay, happy Thanksgiving.
You bet. Happy Thanksgiving as well. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to the MJH Experience on Blog Talk Radio.
Produced by CommunicationCreations.com.